Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, it's amazing time that we live in. Really an amazing time. When's the last time that you went to church and somebody said we need to be concerned about security? When's the last time you were in church and your pastor talked about security or carrying a gun in church? Did you know 2 weeks ago I got a memo from the Sheriff's Department, Denton Sheriff's Department, that wanted to know if I was interested in security for my church? Now, when's the last time you've had something like this in your life? I ain't never heard of such a thing. But when the Denton Sheriff's Department, which we voted and put in business, when he contacts me and wants to know, am I interested in security for my church? I told him, yes. I want my church to be secure. He said, well, we're going to have a meeting this week, if possible, if you have some people that you'd like to send. It's an all-day deal, an eight-hour class. We're going to teach them how to keep your place secure. And then I turned on the news the other night, and some Muslim guy, and people say, don't call them Muslims. Hey, that's what they are. I mean, we never had this problem until we had Muslims. Some Muslim guy walks into, I think it was a tire shop in Dallas, whatever, and starts killing a guy because he's a Jew. Did anybody hear that?
No.
Some of you heard that, huh?
Is that on Butner?
Some of you heard it, some of you didn't. So the guy that owned the shop had to run in and get his gun to stop this Muslim from killing people in his tire shop. Now then, does that make you feel secure?
No.
Well, I'll tell you what. If there was ever a time in your life that you better make sure you know Jesus, it's now.
Amen.
It's nonsense. I mean, I'm 77 years old and I've lived and I've been to church, I've been to schools, I've been to everywhere, and I've never had a problem with security in church. I could walk into any church, nobody would say anything. In fact, the other day I walked into the bank here in Justin and there's a sign on the bank. If you have a carry permit, your gun is welcome in this bank.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought, wow. So I walk in and I go back to the CEO of the bank and I walk in and I said, hey, I see a sign on your bank. And I said, I want to make sure I understand this right. But it says if I have a carry permit, you're okay with me bringing my gun in here. And he said, yeah. And said, since the governor has made it legal, he said, if you got a carry permit, you don't have to hide it. You can just carry it out where we can see it. He said, I don't have a problem with anybody coming in my bank with a gun on as long as they have a carry permit. He said, because those kind of people are not the kind of people that's going to hurt me.
Right.
He said, it's the ones that come in that is, he didn't say this, but it's Muslims that come in to kill Jews and to kill Christians.
Yeah.
And that's their goal in America. And where America... you're going to need to wake up because just guess what? After all these nonsense and all these things, for the first time in my life, I've never dreamed I would have a church, maybe have a business someday that handled a lot of gold and silver or cash that you might need somebody to protect you. And so therefore, you might not be too concerned about having somebody armed in the place, you know, if you're maybe diamonds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things that crooks want to steal. But a church? You need security for a church? But it's come to that. So I'm sending two men this week from our organization to go to that school to find out how do we defend ourselves. So don't think it uncommon if here in a few Sundays you walk around and you look and you see a bulge under somebody's, a gun, or maybe they're just got it right out there where you can see it, Maybe we're after parasitic shooters. I don't know.
Amen.
I mean, it's nuts, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, it's really, we have gone crazy in America.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, God said in his word, I've been over this several times in the last few months, that if we do not serve him with joyfulness and with enthusiasm and a thankful heart for the abundance of all things he's given us. If we do not do that. And how many people do you know that just go to church when they feel like it? They call themselves Christians. They never go vote. Or if they do, they vote for a Democrat. You know, and you know, I mean, you laugh at this, but you know, you have, if when you see a Christian, that says they vote Democrat, there's something wrong with this connection. Because God says in His Word, a Christian is to obey me and do what I say. And Christians are supposed to love people. They're supposed to be honest people. They're not supposed to kill people. They're supposed to walk in love. They're not supposed to do any of these bad things. That did you know that last term that the Democratic Convention tried their best to cast God completely out of the convention? Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay, if you know that, if you know that the Democratic Convention is so evil they want to get God completely out of it, why would you vote for anybody as a Christian that's a member of the Democratic group?
You're not a Christian.
Either that or, I'll just use the word loosely, you're very stupid. One of the two. You know, you need to be wised up. And a while ago we were talking about some of these things, and somebody was shocked talking about, somebody said, well, do you know that Obama, Hannity had a deal on here a while back, about 4 minutes long, about Obama being a Muslim. I told him, I said, you know, I heard that speech in Egypt 7 years ago. I stayed up at night. I stayed up all night long that night to hear that speech that our president, I knew he was a Muslim. I knew he was going to Cairo, Egypt. I knew he was going to make a speech, and I wanted to know if he said anything about him being a Muslim. And that's all it was about him being a Muslim. And I thought, well, there he is. We got a Muslim president. And I said, I've known it all these years. But I said, what really blows your socks off when you find out that his wife is a man? Oh, you didn't know that either, huh? I challenge each one of you this week to go into the internet and look up, is Michelle Obama a man or a woman? Look it up. She's a man. She's not a woman. She's a man. Look that up. It's all over the place. It's kind of shocking, isn't it? Here we are now in America, a group of people that call ourselves Christians that are not walking in obedience to God's word, come to church when we want to, do what we want to, live like we want to, never walk in love with anybody. I mean, just mean as the devil themselves. And I know Christians like this. Don't you?
Yeah.
I know Christians that don't tithe. They wouldn't think about giving God their money. There ain't no way I'm giving God none of my money. Well, you want to know why? You're living where you are. God says, because you did not love me, because you did not worship me, but because you did not praise me for the abundance of all things that I've given you, you're going to serve your enemy, which I, the Lord, am going to send against you. And I'm going to get your attention. I'm going to send a nation against you that doesn't speak your language. I'm going to send a nation against you that does not have any compassion for this weak or the young or the old or nothing else. They walk up and shoot this woman right in the face just as easy as they would me. They have no compassion. I mean, you know, when you may see a man walk into a tire store right here in Dallas and start killing people, we got a problem. And the only reason the man's done it because he's either an American citizen or a Jew or a Christian. That's all they need, all the reason they need. But God has sent this group of perverts against us because we've not worshiped Him. I done some research here a while back, and I found out that every nation, which is not many, but every nation in the world that I could find that does not allow abortion in their country. You know how many Muslims they have?
Zero.
None. Not one.
Yep.
If you're a nation that will not allow abortion, God is protecting you. You want to know why we're not being protected? Do we have any such thing as abortion in America?
Yes.
Is some of these women and men called Christians? If some of these men and women call themselves Christians, sleeping and bringing these children into the world and then sending them out to have an abortion to kill them? Are they doing that?
Yeah.
Yes. When you say, but you know, I would never do that. We don't know what it is to be a Christian. We do not know what it is to be a Christian. I think it's time God is going, I don't know what he's going to do. I can already see what he's doing, ladies and gentlemen. I can see it. He is judging us. And we're seeing it. And it's happening all over the place. Wow. A Muslim president of all things that throws out the day of prayer. Some people didn't even say a word about it when he said, we're going to do away with the day of prayer this last year. And they did. And we're going to bring in Ramadan, the day of prayer for the Muslims. And we're going to have a day of Ramadan in the White House. And they did. And most people don't even know it. We're too busy trying to keep up with our own life to have any idea what's going on in the world around you. You know, that's just like whenever... When Bill Clinton first run for president from Arkansas, the governor of Arkansas, I checked him out. I couldn't believe what I found. I was right over here in the Baptist church. I stood up the week before that election on Sunday, and I said, well, one thing about it, we won't ever have to worry about Bill Clinton being president of the United States. We won't have to worry about him. I said, we got a lot of Christians in this country, and anybody that's a Christian would never vote for Bill Clinton. Because of his perverted lifestyle. I said, he's involved in drugs. He's involved in homosexuality. He's involved with perversion. I mean, he runs around on his wife. He's a pervert. I said, who in the world would bring a man like this in as president of the United States? And Tuesday, what did we do? We brought him in. So he's within 4 years, and then I said, okay. We went through all the stuff, and I got up before the church again, and I said, well, one thing I can say, last time I told y'all 4 years before that we could never have Bill Clinton as a president of the United States, and I said he got in on a landslide. But this time, everything he's done has been open for everybody to see for 4 years. So there ain't no way it could possibly happen that we could be stupid and dumb enough to put him back in again. And what happened? When that happened, I backed off and said, God, the church is stupid. The church is dead. She doesn't have her, she's got her head in the sand. You see where I'm coming from? Somebody says, Thurman, you're crazy. I may be. But everything I'm telling you has been confirmed in history. We've seen it. We know what's happened. So now then, what are we going to change? Are we going to vote this time? If you don't vote, if you're an American citizen and you don't vote this time, you may never see the time that you get to vote again. If you don't do something for God, God requires us to do something. He don't want us to go stick our head in the sand and hide ourselves from what's going on. He wants us to rise up and fight this nonsense and walk in love and do what he says. I mean, you can go back through history. King David, a man after God's own heart. Did he ever have to fight? All the time. In fact, he had killed so many people and shed so much blood, God wouldn't even let him build the temple. But he sent him to, every time David said, Lord, these men come in and stole our wives and our children. What do you want me to do? He said, go and pursue them and you'll catch up. And he said, kill every one of them. Kill every one of them. And so that's what David did. He went and he killed them all. Well, those battles are still going on, are they not?
Yeah.
Now then, when it comes down to what we're seeing, you know, we have an instruction manual. And this instruction manual tells us what to do. Every facet of life is covered in this instruction manual. And some of the things that I think that we don't listen to often enough. And we're going to start today, and we're going to use the NLT, and we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to see what some kind of instructions are that God gives us instructions to live. What are we supposed to do? Well, let me tell you what you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to just come to church every Sunday and then go home and do nothing the rest of the week. But that's what too many of us do. Too many people do not get the word and study the word and listen to the word and obey the word and do what it says. And, you know, when we get a group of Muslims that's been sent over here, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't know when this is going to happen, but I think it's going to happen this year. Maybe the first half of this year. But all these Muslim men And we have seen thousands of them sent into America, have we not?
Yep.
15 to 25 years of age, and maybe a woman or two scattered in amongst that, but most of it's young men.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, first of all, that's a flag to me. Mm-hmm. We don't need people to come here for jobs. In fact, I heard a businessman talking the other day. He said, I tried to hire two or three different of those Muslim men, and he said, they're not hireable. They don't know how to do anything. He said, they're not even trainable. He said, you can't teach those people nothing. Well, not all Muslims are like that, but some are. But these men, the only thing they had learned was the Quran. They had read the Quran. They had memorized the Quran. Big sections of the Quran, they'd understand. They memorized it. And so if you've memorized something and you've been taught to kill Americans, kill Jews, kill Christians, then one day you're sent to a country where we're Jews and Christians and American citizens. And we're here, and then all of a sudden, they put us up in little camps or bases. And I believe the other day when I heard that Obama had opened 6 closed military bases to house these people. Isn't that something? 6 military bases that we had closed, we have now opened to house Muslim men that are coming from all over the world. Now then, let me tell you something that's going to probably shock you. They have warehouses. The American government has warehouses all over America with high-powered weapons. They're stored up, locked up behind a key. But the day is coming when they're going to send men to these young men and going to hand them these guns. And they've already been trained how to use them. They were trained before they come over here. They've been training them since they were 3 years old. They put a gun in the hand of a little child when they're 3 and 4 years old and teach you how to kill. Isn't that something? But those men are going to be handed a gun and they're going to be told, go and kill everybody. Don't matter who you are, kill them. So whether you're a man, a woman, a child, a male, a female, it makes no difference. In fact, the other day when I heard the rules, the new rules, when the Muslims said, as soon as we take over England, we're going to change the law and make it a rule over there that it's not going to be against the law for Muslim men to rape white women. Yeah, that's all over Europe. Is that where that was? All over Europe, it's going to be legal to rape you if you're a white woman. Don't that make you feel secure? Well, this may not be a normal faith teaching, but you know, you may need this. You know, you got to know what's going on. Somebody's got to tell us what's going on.
Yep.
And that's kind of like it was when healing. Whenever I started teaching healing, they didn't want to hear that either. That's okay. I've been thrown out of some big churches and big groups because I teach something and it's right there in the Word of God. Everything I tell those of you that come out here know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what I teach you out of this book is in the book, and it is exactly what God said, is it not?
Yes.
You know, and so I'm going to continue to teach that. I'm not going to change. But I'm also going to try to stay abreast of what's going on in the world. I'm going to try to keep you warned. It's awful what is happening. And as long as we're walking in obedient and walking integrity of God. Now, God knows your heart. You can come in and tell me anything, and I'll probably believe it. But God knows your heart, and you can't lie to Him about nothing. He knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking before you even think. He already knows what you're going to think. In fact, He knew what you were going to think this afternoon before the foundation of the world was laid.
Yeah.
That's how awesome He is. But He knows. So if you're walking in integrity and walking in love, doing what He says, then your life can be great. But we've got all kinds of devastating things beginning to happen in America. And people are getting killed, you know, like that police officer. That one police officer, I believe they said they shot him, 16 times? 11 times. The guy is a police officer. He's a 33-year-old police officer. And where was he at, honey? What part of?
Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia, this 33-year-old police officer driving down the road, he stopped. Some guy run out and he said, begin to holler, Allah, you know, Akbar, all this, God, Allah is God. There is only one God. And he starts shooting this police officer and he shot that guy 11 times and didn't kill him. And then they got a hold of the guy somehow. You know, the thing about it is, I'm going to be like the guy down at the parts house the other day. He said he just come back from some kind of a class. And he said they've changed the way they do things now. Used to, they'd tell you if you had a carry permit, be very careful and make sure that you don't shoot anybody to kill them. Wound them. If you know, if they're trying to do something to you, warn them two or three times. Tell them you have a gun. If they don't stop, you're going to shoot them. He said, now then, the new rules. The class he went to, the guy said, you scream one time, stop. And he said, at the same time, if he don't stop, he said, you shoot to kill. You don't shoot to wound. You shoot to kill. And so you think, wow. What a world we live in. What a world we live in. So anyway, we're going to believe that if we walk in integrity, walk in obedience to God's word, and of course by next Saturday and Sunday when you come back, I will have a report to find out what the sheriff's department is going to say about teaching us how to protect ourselves in our church. When I read that article, it says, from the sheriff's department, Denton County, are you interested in learning how to protect you and the people in your church, in your school, in your business? I thought, what are we talking about here? I mean, have we moved into Vietnam now all of a sudden? You know, are we still, is this America? Do y'all understand where I'm coming from? I ain't never got a letter like this from the sheriff's department in my whole life. Has anybody else in here ever got a letter like that from the sheriff's department?
No,
nobody. Why is it happening now?
Because they turned their back on God.
That's it. That's exactly right. We've turned our back on God. And by turning our back on God, you better turn back and start putting Him first. Because did He say that if we put Him first and we say He's our Lord and our God, we shall see 1,000 fall at our side? 10,000 at our right hand, but it won't fall near us. Is that what He said?
Amen.
So who's going to take care of us?
God.
God is. Now that says, if you seek me at first and put me first, then I will take care of you. I'm telling you, today with the nonsense that's going on, you better be prepared to put God first in everything you do. Because, you know, before up till now, you might be able to get by with some things, you know, I'd like to have a meeting with the guys. In fact, I may talk to the president of the bank. After I talked to him a few minutes the other day, I said, what if one of those guys comes in? What if he does come in? And he does have a carry permit, or at least he has a gun on his hip, and you don't know whether he has a carry permit or not. I said, what are you going to do if he just starts back here and starts pulling his gun out and starts shooting people in the bank? He said, anybody walks down that hallway and pulls a gun out, he said, he's going to be dead in a heartbeat. I said, how are you so ready? He said, open the door, said, you see this 45? I said, yeah. He said, you see this one right here? You see this one right here? He opens the door, he's got a machine gun there. He said, you think I'm ready? I said, I believe you're ready. I believe you're ready. So he said, anybody walks down that hallway and they pull a gun out? He said, I'm not going to ask any questions. Somebody pulls a gun out, they're dead in my bank. So if you go in that bank, you can have it on your hip, but you better not use it. Because if you do, the president of the bank might pull his 45 or his automatic weapons or his whatever, and he might just start blowing people away. But he ain't going to ask no questions. He's just going to shoot you. I don't know what we're going to do here, but we're going to know more about what the sheriff department tells us after this week, because I've got two men. I thought we need to know, don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, if the sheriff's department contacts us, yes. they're us. We put them in office, is that right?
Yep.
They were on our side. These men and women are Christians. They love God just like I love God. And when they send me a memo that I need to send somebody to learn how to protect my church, I think it's time I send somebody to learn how to protect our church. Don't you? So you may see some changes. I mean, you know, if you see somebody with a gun on, don't worry about it. If it's somebody you know and they've been coming to church here all this time and you see somebody carrying a gun, you know, no problem. They may tell us to hide those, or they may tell us, you know, I mean, I think about several other pastors that I know in Atlanta and San Antonio and several places that they have men, every time you see them on TV, there's two or three men standing around all over the place with concealed weapons. Yeah.
We have them
here in
Fort Worth.
Do what?
We have them here. T.D. Jakes does the same thing.
Oh, he does? He has them? I'm sure there's lots of them.
That's already being done in the Jewish churches. They have security.
In the bigger churches?
The Jewish.
Oh, in the Jewish churches. Oh, okay. But we're all Christians, and they hate Christians.
I go to school with a bunch of Muslims, and I ask a Muslim, I said, are all Muslims ready to kill Christians? And, you know, and I was just talking to him, and he said, Betty, you cannot believe anything a Muslim tells you. We all lie.
Sure,
and I said, did he say that? And I went, did he say that? And I thought, well, the next day, I'm going to go and ask him again. Do you know what he said to me the second time?
What?
I didn't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. See? I guarantee the Quran, which is their book, it clearly says it's okay to lie to the infidel. I've read it. Mm-hmm. So you can't trust anything they tell you. I mean, and
that was a Muslim that said it.
Yeah. Yep. Why not? I mean, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as I've told you several times before, you don't never trust a Muslim. If they say, I used to be a Muslim and I got saved, I'm born again now, hey, now you can start talking with these people. But if they say, I'm a Muslim and I'm still a Muslim, don't you believe anything they tell you. That's just like the President of the United States when he looks right at you and says, I am not a Muslim, I am a Christian. Let me tell you what, he's lying. He's lying, and he knows it's okay to lie to you, an infidel. But because you turn around and you hear him with many other places, I've heard him say, my Muslim faith. I am a Muslim. Anybody else ever heard Obama say, I'm a Muslim? Sure, he's a Muslim. There's no two ways about it. He's a Muslim. Well, let me tell you what, I am not a Muslim. You know, I am a Christian, and I'm going to do everything I can to walk in obedience to God's word. You know, and I'm going to do everything I can to protect the people that come here. So we're going to send two men this week to the Sheriff Department of Denton, and they're going to teach us how to protect our people. So, I don't know what's going to happen, but all I know is we want to walk in obedience to his word and do what he says. Is that right?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard this week that those Muslims who have been sent over, especially the men, they are to cut their hair, shave off their beard. They are not to go to the Muslim church. They are to wear crosses, and they are to blend in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so even if they tell you they're a Christian, you have to be fruit inspectors, because they are to assume the role and blend into society.
Okay, now let me tell you something about what she just said. Anytime they tell a Muslim to shave off all his beard, all his whole body, he's not just shaves his beard, he shaves his whole body. That means he's getting ready for jihad. And that means that when he kills, or he gets killed, when he goes into jihad, he's going to kill as many as he can. But those that he don't kill, he knows they're going to kill him. And so he's going to get to go into the everlasting life with 72 virgins, and he's going to be slick shaved all over, so he'll be soft and to these women as he gets there. I'm telling you the truth.
I worked with a Muslim for many years. I was helping him with typesetting. His name is Sam, and he was educated here, and you know, at the University of Texas Tech, mm-hmm. Lubbock. And he'd been here for 8 years when I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to come over, and I'd do typesetting, and I'd go to his shop. Well, the last time, and he would go to the Hage, he'd do the pilgrimage, you know, once a year, around the Blackstone, and mm-hmm. he got leukemia, and his wife went over there and dragged him back. But And he used to come in, I'd go to this print shop here out of Pitt Printing, and they'd come over here with businesses.
Right.
You know, he opened up a Pitt Printing. And anyway, he would talk to me about things, and he'd ask me about baptism and all. And he'd take me to church. I didn't have a car for 2 years. But the last time I talked to him, he came into Kinko's. I work at FedEx and used to be Kinko's. And I was helping him with a graphic. And he said, Barbara, he turned to me, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, are you ready, Barbara? And I said, for what, Sam? He said, to become a Muslim. And he's not there. That shop is not there anymore. It was in Garland. And I sent him an email, and I said, are you okay? This is, you know, after a year. This is a few years back. And he just sent an email back and said, I'm okay. But he stopped communicating with me. Mm-hmm. And I know his wife sometimes would come in, and she'd have a black eye, you know, or something like that. And they would, I mean, it was...
Yeah.
And he'd
We are rapidly approaching the time. Yes, yes, brother.
According to Scripture, we can defend ourselves, right?
Absolutely right.
I've had that question.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, yeah, you and your... The Lord, I mean, we want God to protect us, but if somebody starts coming up your doorstep with guns and it looks like they're going to kill you and your family, just don't lay back and let them kill you.
Okay.
Protect yourself, guarantee. I don't know if anybody else agrees with me on that or not, but I believe God give us a brain and He give us a gun. And I was in the Vietnam War, and you know, it's unfortunate you have to kill people. You have to shoot people, men, women, boys, and girls. You never know who's your enemy. But, you know, I don't believe God. I believe just like Kyle, whenever he said, I've killed many a man, but it was all for my government. He said, I don't believe God holds me accountable for any of those people. And I don't either. I believe if you're sent to do something, you're supposed to protect yourself. I don't know whether you agree with me or not. And I can't lay back and watch somebody come in and go into my house over there and kill my son and his wife and the grandchildren. I just can't sit back and not shoot back. I just can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I don't know what my son would do. He'd probably turn himself in. He'd probably give him the guns, knowing Tim. But Dad ain't going to be like that. But my son never been to war either. He's never been there. He doesn't know what it's like. And I hope he never has to understand it. I hope none of us in this room ever have to undergo what I think is fixing to come, which I think is already here. It's beginning to happen in America, don't you?
Yeah.
So we got a rule book here, what to do. I think we need to protect ourselves, but we have just been taken to the cleaners. Really, we have been taken to the cleaners, and Lord, we need knowledge. Ma'am? Yeah.
I saw pictures of rows and rows and rows of nothing but caskets.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's for the people that's not Christian, but it may be. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know who's gonna get killed, who's not. But I'm gonna protect myself. I'm gonna protect me and my family. Yes, sir.
Sorry. One last question.
Okay. No, do not. He is an Antichrist, okay. He is not the Antichrist, but he is an Antichrist. There's no two ways about it. He is one of the ones that's a preliminary leading up to the Antichrist. And I think he's really close. I think he's right here. But Obama is an Antichrist. He's a non-believer in Jesus Christ. So although he says he's a Christian, he's lying.
Do you believe the Pope is going to be the false prophet?
The Pope will be, and he may be the one that's there now. I don't know.
Yes.
He could be.
Okay.
He could very well be. But the thing about it is, concentrate on walking in love and doing what God says. Make sure you spend time with Him. Make sure that you're walking in love. Make sure you're doing everything God tells you. And then if you get killed serving God, He'll be standing at the other side, just like Stephen. When Stephen was preaching the word and they stoned him and killed him, The norm there was Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where He was. But because Stephen told them the truth And they started stoning him with rocks. They didn't want to hear what he had to say about God. They started stoning him. And he, as they knocked him down, he looked up and he says, I see heaven opened. And I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And so, but did he get killed? Yes, he did. Well, he got killed. But when he got killed, guess who was there to welcome him into the kingdom? The Lord himself. And he stood. I tell you what, you can't get a greater place of whatever than for Jesus Christ to be standing for you when you come into the kingdom of God. I don't want to be one of those that don't do nothing. Yes, brother.
Hello, everyone. My name is Donovan Brian DeGraff. My born-again name is Skip. It helps remind me to walk in the newness of life. I went to prison over child support, and when I was in prison, I met these people that read the Bible. That's all they did. They ate, slept, read the Bible. Most Christian people, the knowledge was phenomenal. Anyway, there were some things that I learned in there, and some of the things was is people might poke you with a spoon or anything else like that, so that they were kind of a violent people or whatever. It was showed to me that where it says thou shalt not kill, a more accurate translation of that is thou shalt not murder.
Yeah, that's what it means.
If someone's trying to kill my wife and I stop them, even if it means that I got to kill them, God ain't mad at that.
That's right.
The blood that was on David's hands was of Uriah the Hittite. It wasn't the blood of the wars. This pastor, he's telling you guys great things. And we should unite as a Christian militia. The message that he's talking about is real. There's been crazies forever. It ain't just Muslims. Yep. It's all people that ain't Christ-like. They're all trying to kill us.
Yeah.
Okay, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I've read this, and I had an experience, and it works. Israel was there, and this army came against them about the same size as they was. Then another army came. So there was two of them. Then a great big army came back behind that. And they went back, and they prayed, and they fasted, and they cried out to God. And they said, God, aren't you our God? Aren't you the most highest God? We're right here. We're repenting before you. Please help us. We know you can do this. You opened up the sea. You went before us. As a pillar of smoke and flame by night, you made the walls of Jericho fall down. We know it's possible for you to do this. We know that you love us. And like he explained earlier, our sin was placed on Jesus, and his right standing, his righteousness was placed on us. The enemy don't want us to know who we are.
Amen.
If we realize that God, when he looks at each one of us that's been baptized and believe and repentant, he looks at Jesus. I'm not self-righteous. I'm Jesus righteous. I'm standing on what he did.
Amen. Yeah.
My
Amen.
Righteousness, as best I can do, is like filthy rags. And that, literally translated, is a used feminine hygiene product. That's as good as I could be without Jesus in Amen. God's eyes. I can't do it. But because of what Jesus did, every one of us are in right standing with God. We are made perfect through his blood. Okay, what they did was is they went back, and this is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. They went and they prayed and fasted, a corporate fast all together, all right? That night, the Lord sent the two armies against the big army. They killed them off, and then they turned on each other. The only thing he told them to do was to sing a worship song, something about the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. So they're just walk up there. They don't know what's going on. They're expecting a big old fight. You know, they're like, Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Woo! You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They get to the top of the hill. Everybody's dead.
Yeah.
Took them 3 days to pick up the earrings, the swords, the goats, because they had to move like all their food source with them too. Took them 3 days to pick up all this stuff. They won the battle through prayer, fasting, and singing.
Yeah. Amen.
Folks, I'm not telling you to bring a knife to a gunfight here. I'm telling you to bring a nuclear arsenal to a third grade playground. David stood up and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? They were all scared to death. David's like, I didn't kill the bear and everything else, man. God's with me. It's like, when he mentioned they were uncircumcised, they had no covenant with God. No. The media and all this stuff, they want us to get all stirred up and scared. They send this man something about security. Okay? They want the security in place so they can take our freedom, so they can get us wrote down somewhere, listen to our phones, make us register our guns, get us all scared. Woo! We need all this stuff, internet on us and everything else. And it's all leading up to a one world government. It's clear in the Bible.
Yep.
Before you know it, they're going to say, just like they're scanning them barcodes right now at Walmart, get some food. If you ain't got that mark in your hand, You better be able to go out and hunt. I suggest to every person here, learn how to hunt and fish and grow your own food.
Amen.
We're not, it's all around us. It's all around us. And this is my brother right here. I love this guy. I don't even know this guy. I don't even know him. I walked in here. My wife's sitting right back there. She took one of these CDs from this place. I was singing at a church in Oklahoma. She gave it to the pastor. That's how I met my wife less than a year ago. This right here, this is a utility knife. You can carry it anywhere. This is what 9/11 happened over. When you're trained how to do something, that is all you need to actually, you know, commandeer an airplane and, you know, 9/11. Okay, you can carry that thing anywhere. It's right there. I'm a roofer, so it's handy. It's a tool. So if I get pulled over, they're like, what's that? It's like, well, it's my knife. You know, no big deal. You let somebody grab that woman back there, anyone in here, be on them like white on rice on paper plate. You know what I mean? I ain't messing around. And it's not murder. Yeah. It's not murder. It's defense.
Yeah.
And the best defense we have, please hear me on this. Please hear me on this. We have got to pray and fast and repent. It says, sing a new song to the Lord. Write your own song. Mm-hmm. Write it from in here and give it up to him. Listen to what this guy's saying and contact all your family. Have ways of communication if the phone lines are down. Have a backup food source. If you've got seeds, you can go down here. You can go to a feed mill. You can get a barrel of corn for probably under $50. That is the same corn that they sell in a little bag, little seed deal, for like $3. A little thing got five kernels in it. Exact same corn. Save up seeds and then make sure that you have enough food to live on until it grows. That way, if you can't go get your food from Walmart, you're ready to go. And when like my dad's a truck driver, so I got to put this non-colorfully. When the stuff hits the fan and you can't, what you got to ask yourself is, what am I going to do if I can't go to the store and buy something? I got to be self-reliant. So you need to be able to hunt. A great thing about being able to hunt is like that. You see them little fancy assault rifles and everything, and they look all mean looking and stuff like that. I got news for you, folks. They ain't hardly that good. Get you a good rifle like a 308, a 22-50, something like that. Something with a high power, a 30-06 with a rifled barrel where you can shoot somebody about a mile down the road if you need to. And then if you're getting a handgun to carry for your wife, it seemed like you get one of them little old bitty ones because they fit her hand. It's kind of cute. Might be pink or whatever. You don't want that. You want a heavy one because it don't have the recoil. So when you pull that trigger, it's not jumping out of her hands and she can control it better. Longer barrel, more control. You see what I'm saying? Also, if something was to actually happen, like if you're in a parking lot and somebody runs up there and tries to get you, which one of us is going to have enough time to call the cops, pull a gun, or do anything? There's stuff called target-focused training. And basically, it's like just dirty fighting, like, you know, stick your finger in their eye, hit them in the throat, knee them in the business, whatever. There's a guy named Ken Larkin. He trains special forces. You can look on the internet, and you can actually train a 70-year-old woman to take down a 300-pound attacker. But we're not under a spirit of fear. It's good to know all this stuff and be ready. It says to be prepared and everything, so I encourage you to be prepared. But the prayer... Can anybody here name a name higher than Jesus?
No.
Is there such a thing?
No. No.
So if he's on our side, God be for us, who can be against us, right?
Nobody.
Who can prevail?
Yeah.
But we got to do what we got to do. We got to meet him halfway.
Amen. Amen, brother. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to start in Proverbs. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. I just think you have to be prepared. Let's start out with Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. Father, I thank you for your word. You show us and tell us how to prepare for everything, how to protect ourselves, how to live our life. This book of Proverbs is an owner's manual written for life to tell us everything we should do and what you will do if we obey you and do what you say. I thank you for the wonderful book of Proverbs. I thank you for the whole Bible. I thank you for Jesus that came and paid the price for me. Lord, the thing that I look at here that I'm your son, and I'm only going to live a little while on this earth, and then you're going to bring me home. I know I can't live forever here. I don't want to live forever here in this mess. I want to come home one day when you're ready. But until you're ready, I want to do exactly what you tell me to do. And I praise you and thank you. Lord, I want to thank you for all the wonderful healings and salvations and everything that we've seen you do, the people that you've healed here at this little church, the people that have come from all over, and you've touched their hearts. You've set them free. You've healed them and delivered them. And Lord, we've seen you do some mighty awesome things, things that nobody could do besides you. So we thank you for all those wonderful things. Now, Lord, as we read a little while here and study out of the book of Proverbs, may you continue to show us what we should do and how to do it, so that we may go away from here as men and women of God, men and women that will be about your business, that will know that you're our God and that you mean what you say. So we are to do what you say. And I thank you and praise you for this mighty word. In Jesus' name, amen. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. Verse 3. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, which we don't have any simple people, do we? Are we all simple?
Yes.
Yes. God must have really loved the simple man. He made so many of us. Wow. These proverbs will give insight to the simple. That's to me and you. Knowledge and discernment to the young. Do we have any young people? Yes, all of us have children and grandchildren. And those young people need to learn to pay attention to God's word. Because if they will listen to God's word, they won't have to experience some of the things that some of us had to experience because we didn't listen to God's word. Now, I know none of you ever did anything wrong as you were growing up. I know you were all perfect. And you went to church every time the door was open, and you studied God's word, and you just couldn't wait to get back into his word when you got home. And today, of course, we got all these little toys we play with, computers and cell phones and everything else. And I know a man would never, ever listen to his cell phone or play his phone while he's in church. Have you ever seen anybody playing one of them stupid cell phones while I'm teaching?
Yeah.
I have. I've got on two or three of them. I remember one time at a healing school, I walked back there and there was a kid sitting right back there and he was going after that phone, playing some kind of game. Man, I read that kid the riot act. I told him, you said, you put that stupid phone up, you come here to a healing school, you don't need what's on there, you need what I'm gonna say.
Amen.
And so he put it up. But the young, they're simple. They're stupid. So how do you know that, Pastor? I was one. That's how I know. Weren't you one time?
Yeah.
Yes, you were too. What is right and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. That pretty well includes all of us, doesn't it? You know, when we're young, we don't think we're simple. We only think mom and dad is simple. They don't know anything. We know everything. We don't need to listen to what they got to say. But let me tell you what, we do need what they have to say. Verse 5, let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the word of the wise and their riddles. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. You know, the average person today, we have no fear of God. If you knew that God says, I hate those that shed innocent blood. I hate lying. And does he say that? Then if he hates those that shed innocent blood, and if he said also in his word, there shall be no adultery or fornication among my church, zero, none whatsoever. If a man knew that, and he went out and dated a girl, and she's a Christian and he's a Christian, and he began to pursue her for sex, and they crawled over in the back seat of a car to have sex. If he had any fear of God, and if she had any fear of God, there could be a lightning bolt from heaven come down and kill both of them right there, and God would be justified in what he did. Is that true?
Yeah.
But see, we have no fear. We don't believe God will do that. We don't believe he will discipline us. Or he says in his word, if you sin, I will judge you and your children. You know what really breaks my heart? I remember one time I was watching, actually I went to the crusade. It was down here in Dallas. And Benny Hinn was having one of their crusades here. And I saw Benny Hinn do something that day that I had the greatest respect for that man and what he did, and my heart went with his. He had a whole row of kids across the front in wheelchairs. Their little bodies were deformed. I mean, they were awful. And all these little children that are around there, I saw that man go down there and get on his knees before God and hold his hands up and say, God, if you will tell me what I need to do so that you can heal these children, I will do anything you tell me. I thought, wow. I believe he meant that with all his heart. He had tears in his heart. He had tears in his eyes for all these kids. And of course, back in those days, I thought, Lord, if I can throw my prayer in there with his prayer, I would be willing to do anything also. But I had no idea what made those children like that back in those days. Had no idea that the sins of the parents, the wickedness that parents had been involved with, were causing these children to be handicapped and mentally retarded. You know, the church don't know that today. But the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. When those people go to bed together to satisfy a lust, and some of them will conceive a child at that time, and some of them won't. Some of them will have one a year, 5 years, 10 years later, but the child will be born with cerebral palsy or whatever. They have no idea that it was their sin that night when they crawled into that bed with that man or woman, when they committed that adulterous or fornication act, that God cursed them and their children.
Yeah.
But the Word of God says, if you do not obey me, I will curse you and your children. Like Jeff said yesterday, I heard him say something about John 9:1, which I thought about that several times in my life. And he may be right and he may be wrong, because we don't have anything to confirm that. But I do know that he could be very right, because I know with God, just like he said, if you want to get your brain messed up, just go read Romans 9. Romans 9 will mess up your brain. You know, because here's what God can do. God says, I'm the potter and you're the clay. And I can do anything I want to do. I just happen to be God. Is he? Yes, he is. So let's say that row of all those little handicapped children. And when I went down to one of the children's hospitals in Dallas here, wow, I saw some kids coming down the hospital room in wheelchairs that somebody was having to push because their little arm persisted around backwards like this behind their back. And their little arms are like this. And you think, oh, God, how come that child's like that? You know, there was many children that people committed sins, but how come this one is the one that you let this terrible, devastating thing fall upon. Why? Who makes that decision? God does, not you and me. He's in charge. But that ought to, if we know that He will do that, and He tells us in His Word, He'll not just do that, He'll kill you. Of course, it might be better to be dead than to be like that. As far as I'm concerned, it would be. I personally had rather be born, I'm like Job. When Job said, you know, it'd been better if I'd have been born dead than to be like I am. He was in suffering and pain and agony. He didn't want to be like that. But you know, God, He can do whatever He wants to do. But if there's any knowledge, any fear at all, what we ought to, if we have fear in our heart that this book really means what it says, then our goal is ought to be to hand it to our children and let them follow along with us. And we read this book to our children from the day they're born until they get to be 20 years old, or as long as they stay at home. It should be a requirement that your children listen to these things. And if you didn't read them anything but the book of Proverbs for 20 years, it'd never get old, would it, Kim? It changes every time you read it. The book of Proverbs. We ought to read the book of Proverbs at least one chapter every day as long as we live. And we, our children, if they would hear what God is saying, and we would hear what He says in just in the book of Proverbs, and obey and do what He says, it would change the way you live. It would change your life. You would not be out there messing around with people. You wouldn't be lying, stealing, cheating. You wouldn't be doing those things, because you know that God says He hates those things. If God said He hates abortion, you know, God's just like God says. When you stop and think about it, when we step out of our right mind, and every one of us do this, every one of us do this. We do something and our mate does something that you don't like, and there's not a single one of us in here hadn't had an experience like this somewhere in your life. That your wife gets mad at you, or you get mad at your wife, or whatever, your spouse. And the first words comes out of hers or your mouth, I'm through with this, I'm over. I'm going to get a divorce. Have you heard people make those kind of statements? Some of them follow through. But if you had fear of God, if you really feared God, and you knew that He said, I hate divorce, I want you to forgive that mate. You think about it, and then you forgive them. Don't you dare mention divorce. Don't you dare go in and say, I'm going to get a divorce because I can't stand to live with you. If you do that, do you know what God could do? You know what He could do to you? He could put some kind of sickness and disease upon you beyond your wildest dreams, or He could just absolutely send a lightning bolt and fry you right there. Could He not? Is He God? Is it a good thing He's merciful and forgiving? Because if He wasn't, you know how many of us would be alive today? None of us. We would all be dead. But, you know, why do we do these stupid things? The book of Proverbs tells us because we have no fear of Him. Now then, I can think when I was a young boy. Halloween came one time. Of course, I didn't know. I had accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 11, but I didn't know nothing about Him. You know, if I can't see Him, He's not real. You know, it's just the way we are. So anyway, we had a Halloween deal, and we put some stuff there on the street corner, stacked a bunch of junk up out there, and people would have to pull up and stop to go around this. And then the boys would be up on top of these concrete buildings there with big walls in front of them and everything. And when somebody would stop, they would throw eggs at them. Wham, wham, having a fun. You know, boys having a fun. They told me what they wanted to do. They said, let's go down there. Let's go get us a few cases of eggs. Let's go throw them at people at the red light when they stop. I said, no, guys. I ain't going. They said, why? Nobody will ever know. I said, but what if we do get caught? Just what if? Well, there won't be no problem. I said, no, there might not be no problem on your part. But if my daddy knew I was down there throwing eggs at somebody and I got caught, I tell you what, I probably wouldn't be able to sit down for about 2 weeks. I said, he would beat my tail off. Now then, I remember one time my daddy beat my tail off because I poured out a little bill of toothpicks. I was that big boy, and I just walked up to the table. You talk about stupidity? I reached up, and Dad's sitting right there, and I reached up and get that bottle of toothpicks and just pour them on the floor. Dad didn't get excited. He said, son, pick up their toothpicks. I said, no. You know, only a boy is stupid. Only an idiot. You know, you don't understand. But Dad said, son, I said, pick up the toothpicks and put them back up on the table. I said, no, Dad, I ain't going to do it. He said, son, I'm just going to give you one more chance. Now pick up those toothpicks. And I said, no. Now, why did I do that? It had to be a demon. It had to be a demon. My daddy, he whipped me 3, 4, 5 licks. He said, now you're going to pick up the toothpicks? I says, no. And he beat me 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 more licks. He said, now you're going to pick the toothpicks up? And I says, no. He spanked me till I was blood red from the middle of my back to the bottom of my legs. And I refused to pick up. Finally, my dad says, well, son, I don't know what's wrong with you, but I'll pick them up. I don't understand why you did this. I have no idea. And to this day, I have no idea why I didn't do that either. You know, first of all, why did I? There had to be a demon. Do you agree with that? It had to be a demon that caused me to dump the toothpicks. Why would any stupid boy get the toothpicks and pour them out on the floor and then refuse to pick them up? And take a beating, but anyway, I knew what it was like to be beat blood red from the top of my head almost to the bottom of my teeth. There wasn't a place on me from the middle of my back all the way to my heels that wasn't blood red. My daddy used a razor strap on me. Any of y'all ever heard of a razor strap? Woo! He beat me. But as that began to soak in on me, slowly but surely over the years, as that began to soak in that whipping that I got for doing that, you know, I thought, wow, I don't ever want another one of them. I was sore for weeks. You understand?
Yeah.
I was literally sore and hurting for weeks. So out of that, I produced a healthy fear of my father. You know? Now, some of y'all never been beat like that in your whole life, and I hope you don't ever have to. But let me tell you, Daddy showed me how to do it. And if you don't obey me and do what I say, now then, God is way above Daddy.
Amen.
You know, God can put hurt on you. I mean, he don't want to. He's merciful. He's kind. He wants you to walk in obedience to his word. And I will have to say, just like a man asked me the other day, he says, do you think it's possible to lose your salvation? Oh, excuse me, to lose your salvation. And I said, yes. He said, you mean you really think you can be lost? I said, yes. But I said, let me tell you this. He said, you're a Baptist, aren't you? I said, I used to be. He said, well, Baptists always believe once saved, always saved. And I said, and that's true. He said, now, wait a minute. I don't understand what you just said. I said, if you really accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you really walk with him and obey him all your life, I guarantee, once saved, always saved. He will not throw you away. I said, the way I read the scripture, it's so difficult to lose your salvation, but it is possible. But I said, it ain't easy. It ain't just, okay, Lord, I'm not going to serve you today, but I will serve you tomorrow. It's not that easy to lose your salvation. It is something that's very, very difficult. But I also read that in that way I read it, if you do walk away from God after you've walked in the power of the world to come, if you do walk away, there's no way you can come back. You have eternally sealed your damnation. Now, who in the world would want to do that? Anybody in their right mind want to do that?
No,
absolutely not. We want to love God and serve him and do what he says. So I think that we need to really, really, really make sure that we're going to put God first. We're going to walk in obedience to his word. And we have this reverent fear, knowing, just like Jeff was telling me the other day, Jeff was sitting out, and we were having a lightning storm. And Jeff was sitting out on his front porch of his trailer, mobile home. He lives in a mobile home, and of course they tell you, if you live in a mobile home, boy, get somewhere where you're secure. You know, they're not very secure. Even though they're anchored down, they're not very secure. So get somewhere. Jeff knew his Lord. And he knew he was walking in obedience to his Lord. So he sat there in his rocking chair on the front porch of his mobile home watching his father throw lightning bolts all around everywhere. And was he ever afraid of anything?
No.
Absolutely not, because he knew who was in control. He knows his daddy is in control, and he knows those lightning bolts are directed by his daddy, and he flings them wherever he will, and he hits what he wants to with them. So is there any reason for us, if we're walking in obedience to his word, to live in any kind of fear of God? No, just a reverent fear of God, knowing he's your Lord. He will take care of you. Is that right? Yeah, so you don't have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. But what I'm trying to say is that if you go out and sin intentionally, if you go out and sin and don't do what he says, and then he strikes you with something, why is it that almost nobody will say that God is the one that does these things? But yet the scripture says it. Does it not? The scripture said the Lord is the one that disciplines us. He is absolutely the one. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Could you really have called me a fool the night I wouldn't pick up the toothpicks?
Yes.
Absolutely. Wow. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. My daddy was trying his best to discipline me, and I wasn't listening to nothing. My child, listen when your father corrects you. If I had only done what he said, I could have saved myself all that pain. Why are we like that? Why do people do that? What, honey?
Rebellion.
Yeah, it's rebellion, all right, that's for sure. There's some people you can't tell them nothing. I happened to be one of them back in that day. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. Verse 9. What you learn from them will crown you with a grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. Those boys there that night down there at the stoplight, they were trying their best to entice me to take part in the egg throwing. I thought, yeah, it might be fun to throw rotten eggs or eggs at somebody and hit their car and they won't know what it is. Maybe they roll down a window and you throw one right in the window. Wouldn't that be fun? You know, back in those days, that's probably the most serious stupidity any of us did. But we did not go out and with guns and try to kill somebody because there were some, you know, we didn't even dream about things like that. To throw an egg at somebody is one thing. Probably wouldn't hurt you if it hit you. It might mess you up a little bit, but these things was happening to us today. They're talking about killing you. You know, I mean, wow. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. And, of course, that's what these sinners are being enticed by the Quran to kill people. Since somebody said what they did about a Muslim here a while ago, I would have to say there was a man came here a while back and told me, said, I've lived beside this Muslim for years. He said, every time I see him, I try to talk to him about Jesus. He said, the other day, I said something about, I'm fixing to go out to Justin to a healing school. Why don't you go with me? They're going to talk about Jesus and how you can get healed. And he said, this guy came over and got right in my face. And he said, if you ever mention the name of Jesus to me again, I'm going to kill you. He said, jihad is coming to America, and it's coming soon. And when it does, all of us Muslims are going to be killing Christians. So he said, if you ever mention the name of Jesus again, I'm going to kill you. And that's his neighbor. He'd been living by his neighbor 6 or 7 or 8 years. And he told me that right here in this church.
Wow.
Is that something or is that something? Do the Muslims know jihad's coming? Oh, yeah, they know it's coming. But we're going to know it, too. We're going to believe we know, and we get prepared, and we're going to be ready for God. We're going to call on him and for his protection. And if God can send one angel and kill 185,000 Syrian soldiers, we only need a half a dozen. You know, that's all we need, just a half a dozen of those guys. Verse 11. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. So even back in this day, there were some wicked people that hide and kill someone just for fun. Can you imagine taking a human life just for fun?
No.
It's crazy. But that's where these people live. You know, that's where they live. So that's why we've got to be, well, we'll know more about what the sheriff's department has to say after this week. But anyway, wow. Let's just ambush them. Let's swallow them alive. Like the grave, let's swallow them whole. Like those who go down to the pit of death. Does this sound like some pretty wicked people? Well, the Lord's telling you, when they come and entice you with this, do not listen to them. Don't believe them. Have the fear of God. Walk in obedience to God's word. 13 and 14. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff that we take. And boy, if there's anybody in the world who's got a lot of stuff, it's Americans. Do we have lots of stuff? We have warehouses. I was amazed the other day. Tim, my son, I built him that gym over there. He's wanting to build some warehouses back in there somewhere to store stuff in. He said, Dad, we could make a lot of money. I said, okay. He said, I went to somebody, had something that he needed to store. And he started up and down the roads and started calling everybody. He couldn't find anybody in the whole area short of this side of Louisville that had a place to store stuff. They were all full. Isn't that something? All this stuff we got, and we don't even don't need it, but we ain't got no place to put it, so we keep it. We pay to keep it, and then after a year, we could have thrown it all away and bought it all brand new again. Wow. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff that we take. Come, throw in with your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. Wow, 15, 16. My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their oaths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. Is the Lord trying to give us some good advice here in His Word? He tells us to walk in love and be obedient and do what He says, right? Wow. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to quit right there on Proverbs, and we'll start there next week. Father, I thank You and praise You for the book of Proverbs and the wonderful things and instructions, teaching us how to have the fear of God. And Lord, I do have a reverent fear of You. I know You're God. And I know You can give life. I know You can take life away. I know You can heal. You can wound. You can make sick. You can make alive. You can do all the things because You tell us You can. I praise You and thank You, Lord, for being so merciful to us when we fall out of our love walk with others. Lord, help us to walk in love with everyone. Help us to be the men and women of God that we need to be. Help us to walk in love. Lord, help us. We need Your help, Lord. As we beat on our breasts like the man, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Thank You, Lord, that I'm washed in the blood. I am a child of God. Use us all this week, Lord. Direct us, protect us. Make us conscious of who's around us and where we are. And if we go anywhere where there's any perverts or anybody that comes to do harm to us, send the Holy Spirit to warn us to go another way or to not be there. If a storm comes or something, instead of letting us be there to get killed or tear our car up or whatever, we ask You to send the Holy Spirit to tell us to go another way so You'll protect us. But Lord, I know if we're walking in obedience to Your word, You will do that. If we're walking in obedience to Your word and walking in love with You, I know You'll lead us by the Spirit. You've done it for me many times in my life. And I thank You for leading us by the Spirit and protecting us every day. And bring us back next week and let us continue on in the study of the book of Proverbs, that we'll know how to live and love and be good children and just be about Your business. Lord, give us a blessed week this week. And may everything we do be to bring glory and honor to your precious name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.